Good to see you this morning. I appreciate that the Lord has blessed us with an opportunity to worship together. I welcome you and invite you to turn in your Bible, keep your place in John 15, and we'll speak from there and other places in a moment. If you're visiting, we appreciate very much that you're with us, as already been announced. We hope that you'll come back tonight at 6, and also that if you have any questions of what we teach, what we practice, we'd be happy to answer those questions for you from the Bible as best we can. We'll study the Bible together. Let God answer those questions for all of us and direct us in His way. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to particularly encourage you to listen carefully to the lesson, because what we have to say this morning bears directly upon your current spiritual state. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be saved in the Master. We'll talk about what that means as we go through our study. But you need to be saved from your sins. If you're not a Christian, you're lost. You're separated from God. You do not have God in your life. And you ought not deceive yourself that in sin, God is nevertheless with you and directing you and guiding you and saving you. Because if you're not a Christian, you're lost in your sin and you need salvation. You need to come into a saved relationship with the Lord. We want to encourage that in your life today. We want to help you accomplish that. If you're a Christian, understand that unless we nurture that relationship on God's terms, then neither will we be walking with Him. The Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. And it doesn't matter what we do after we're Christians, we'll go to heaven anyway. We can be lost. And so it's important that we examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. In fact, whether our relationship with Jesus is what it ought to be. This is a difficult sermon for me to preach, because there's a fine line that we will try to walk between recognizing that we must have a relationship with Christ, and then, on the other hand, being careful not to define that relationship on our terms. And that's something that we must guard against at the same time. Do you know my Jesus? A lot of people ask. A lot of people say they have a relationship with Jesus. We're convinced that what often passes for a relationship with Christ is nothing more than self-defined spirituality. There are millions of people who say they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they are saved in Jesus. But when compared to the Word of Jesus, it falls short. Jesus Himself warned of it. He said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, hypocrites, this people honors me with their lips, but with their hearts, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men." Here were people who believed they were in relationship with God. And yet by clinging to their own commandments, their own teachings or traditions, they denied the Word of God and hence destroyed their relationship with Him. We live in an age of bumper sticker religion, bumper sticker spirituality. One of them says, "Relationship, not religion. I have a relationship with God, but religion, not so much." As if it's an either or. The Word of Jesus says, "Pure and undefiled religion is this," in James 1 and 27. So it's not an either or. We're to have a relationship with God, with His Son Jesus Christ, and it is to be in harmony with His Word. Read the Bible the other day to a woman. She didn't like that very much. She said that I was evil for doing that. She didn't really want to hear what the Bible said. But she had a relationship with Jesus. You see, she was trusting in the Lord. don't you know? But she didn't want to hear what the Holy Spirit said in the book. She had rather think that the Holy Spirit was telling her something else. And I'm fearful of that, not just of the world, but of ourselves. That we can fall into that same deception of thinking our relationship with Jesus is just fine. But we give very little attention to His Word in our lives. To what He actually says in His Word. And we can be just as convinced as the next person that somehow or another our self-defined spirituality passes for a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Evangelicals often proclaim and explain that to be a Christian is to receive Jesus and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they mean a personal, subjective experience with Jesus. I lifted that from a website, preaching just that, saying that's part of it. Now, subjective means it's individual. I have an individual experience with Jesus. That's not far removed from the Mormon who would claim a personal revelation from God. Oh, but the evangelicals, death on that, you see. What do we mean when we say, as we sang, He's my friend? Do you know my Jesus? Do we know the Jesus of the Bible? Is my Jesus the Jesus of the Bible? Is my relationship with Jesus, is it the relationship that the Bible talks about that I'm to have with Him? You see, the evangelical claims a personal subjective experience with Jesus Christ, but then denies His plan of salvation to save them. It is Jesus who said, "Go therefore and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." And the evangelical says, "I have a relationship with Jesus. Oh, but you're not to be baptized to be saved." No, no, not that. But I have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I ask, really? When you deny His Word? Or again, the Jesus who says, obedience affects your salvation. Is that the one you have a relationship with? Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Is your relationship with Jesus one of obedience? What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? It is Jesus who said, he that abides in my word, then are you truly my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is your relationship with Jesus one of abiding in His word? Or do you believe you have a relationship with Jesus, but His word not so much? Do you have a relationship with the Jesus who commands you to do the will of the Father? Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do many mighty works? Lord, didn't we appeal to our relationship with you?" And I will say unto them, "I never knew you. I was not in a relationship with you." Can there be any more dreaded words to hear than Jesus at the day of judgment tell me, "I don't know you, Joe"? What kind of relationship do we really have with Jesus Christ? Who has a relationship with Him, and what is that relationship from a Bible point of view? And after all, that's God's point of view because it's His Word. Not ours. Let's examine the kind of relationship, because we're supposed to have a relationship with Him. God calls us to a relationship. Jesus wants us to come to Him and have a relation with Him. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now there's something said about relationship there. Take my yoke. Learn. I'm a teacher. You learn. There's a yoke to be borne. There's a burden to pull, to carry. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He calls sinners to salvation. And is in that salvation that there is a relationship that is established. You see, 2 Corinthians 6, let's read together, verses 16 and following. It's a quotation from, or at least an application of what is said in Ezekiel chapter 37, prophetically, of the Messiah and of God's sanctuary with His people, God's tabernacle being among men. It's a prophecy of the church and the Christ and the people of God. And now Paul appeals to that terminology in quoting when he says, "You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." There's a relationship. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." There's something now that I have to do to have this relationship with God. "Come out and be separate and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." There's a relationship that God calls us to. He wants with us. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting a holiness in the fear of God." You see, a relationship is established when I am converted to Christ. When I come out and am separated from sin, when I am cleansed from my sins by His blood, when I am then able to enter His holy place, His sanctuary, His dwelling among me, He adds me to His church. He adds you to His church. He is our Father, and we call upon Him as His children. The relationship is established. It is the gospel that calls us. We know that. Acts 2, 37 through 41. God calls with the gospel. "And so go into all the world and preach the gospel, so that sinners can hear it and believe it and repent and be baptized and be added by the Lord to His church." 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 says that God calls us into fellowship with His Son. So we're talking about a relationship with Jesus. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God calls us to share with Christ, to have a communion with Christ, to fellowship, have fellowship with Him. It occurs when our sins are removed. God will not walk with sin. He will not commune with sin. He will not have fellowship with sin. So He says, "Come out and be separate." The relationship is established when I become a Christian. So you see, those who claim a personal experience with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus, and yet reject His simple plan of salvation because they're still lost, they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Bless their heart, as much as they want one, they still don't have one. They need to learn how to have one and submit to the Word of God of Jesus that teaches them how to have it. I want them to have it. God wants them to have it. God wants you to have it. But you're not going to have it on your terms. Relationship is not going to be there on our terms. God calls us. His Son calls us. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. "You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." I'm not in a relationship with Christ except it's by faith. That is, by the system of faith. By the gospel of Jesus. Not by the law. That's His contrast. But you see, the faith, the gospel, teaches me to be baptized into Christ, to put Him on, to come into that relationship of salvation, of fellowship, of remission of my sins, of being in the family of God, of being a child of God, of God being my Father. There's the relationship. The Bible says every spiritual blessing is found in Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is, in a relationship with Jesus, and because of what Jesus has accomplished, it is in Him that every spiritual blessing is obtained. By Him and through Him and unto Him. And if I am not in Him, if I have not put Him on, if I have not been baptized into Christ, I yet do not have the blessings found there. Let me briefly share a list. I just went through a concordance of the New Testament and just went through the list of looking at what the Scriptures that say in Christ, or a version of that. Look what's in Christ. Look at, and all of these speak to the relationship in one form or fashion. And whole studies can and should be done on these things. But just look at the relationships that are in Christ. There's redemption in Christ. I'm redeemed. Bought back out of the slavery of sin. I am alive unto God in Christ. Romans 6:11. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ the Lord. Romans 6:23. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The relationship of life, you see. The love of God. Where is it? It is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. Who can separate us from the love of God? It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. One body. It's in Christ that we're united in one body. A Christian in Romans 16 and 10 was said to be approved in Christ. If I'm in Christ, I find His approval. I am sanctified in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Set apart from sin, it's in Christ that we're set apart, counted holy. We're begotten through the gospel. We're born again, 1 Corinthians 4:15. Born into the family of God through the gospel in Christ, the verse says. The apostles' ways were in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:17. What was said of Paul could be said of all the apostles. Their ways were in Christ. So when I follow the apostles, I'm following the ways of Christ. That's a relationship. That's a life being lived. Our hope is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19. We have triumph over sin and death in Christ. We are new creatures in Christ. Reconciliation. No more enemies, but now friends with God in Christ. There's simplicity and purity in Christ. And liberty from sin. We're justified in Christ. If I'm not in Christ, I'm not justified. The blessing of Abraham for the Gentiles is in Christ. Galatians 3 and 14. We are children of God through faith, being baptized into Christ. The faithful are blessed in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. But still further. We sit in heavenly places in Christ. God's grace is found in Christ. If I'm out of Christ, I'm not in His grace. The blood of Christ is found in Him. And we partake of God's promise in Christ. Forgiveness is in Christ. Ephesians 4:32. We rejoice in Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 3. And our spiritual perfection or completion is in Christ. Colossians 1:28. Truth is in Christ, 1 Timothy 2 and 7, as is our salvation. Our salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and 10. Now, you see, in all of that, it becomes imperative that I get into Christ, that I come into a relationship with Him, because it's by Him, through Him, and unto Him that all of those blessings abound to each of us or to any of us. If we're going to be blessed by Him, we've got to be in a relationship. And that relationship is obtained when in faith I am baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3. Do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ? We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death. I'm sorry, I think I quoted Galatians on that. I got those confused. Do you not know as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? So we're baptized into Christ and into His death, and into death to sin, Romans 6, 4. I don't have a relationship with Jesus if I haven't been baptized into Christ. And so millions of people who claim a personal relationship with Jesus have been deceived by the devil, thinking they have a relationship with Jesus when they are still outside of Christ. Now, if that is true, and I believe it's true, God's Word has just taught us that's true. That's a true application of what the Scripture has said. Then, ought not we take care that when people talk about having relationship with Jesus, that at some point, somewhere along the line, we need to use the opportunity to teach them what it really means to have a relationship with Jesus? They're still lost in their sin. They still have a relationship with the devil. And he's blinded their eyes into thinking they're walking with Jesus. And it can happen in the Lord's church just as surely as well. And we need to be careful and cautious to know what it means then. Once we have been added by the Lord to His body, once we've been baptized into Christ, what is that relationship? Because there is no saving relationship without Christ, outside of Christ. We have no hope. We're without God in this world, Ephesians 2:12, when we're outside of Jesus. When I'm a sinner, and I have not been baptized into Christ, I have no hope. I'm without God. I'm not with Him. I'm without Him. I am an enemy in my sin to Jesus. Not a friend. Not a relationship. So what kind of relationship? Now that I've decided to be baptized, I've been buried with Christ through baptism into death, dying to sin, being raised to walk in a new way of life. Now what is that relationship? Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, "As therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." You received Jesus. You came into a relationship with Him. That implies relationship. You received Him. He said, "Come unto Me," and you did that. You repented and were baptized. Now He says, walk in Him. Live in Him. Being rooted and built up. Being strengthened and edified and mature in your faith. And be thankful all the while to God as you live this life in Jesus. So, God's going to define that thankful life of walking in Him. Here's what it has to do. First of all, it's a Savior-saved relationship. In none other is there salvation. And we, when we become Christians, acknowledge that. And we're baptized to be saved. Mark 16:16, by Jesus. So now our relationship is one of worship and praise and adoration and thanksgiving, as this verse says. With thanksgiving we live. We are the saved. We were lost. And we don't forget that. That God in His mercy, while we were without strength, yet weak, Romans 5, Aaron read for us this morning at the table. Christ died for us. We're the saved. And so our relationship is with a Savior who saved us. And so with reverential fear and honor and love and regard, we praise Him and worship Him. We acknowledge with thanksgiving. That's the relationship we need to have. It's not about playing church. It's not about showing up to get a head count. It's because we have been lost and now we're saved. That helps define our relationship every day of our lives. Not just coming on Sunday, but remembering I was saved on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday as well. And so I live before Him. You know, it's a shepherd-sheep relationship. In John 10th chapter, Jesus takes a good amount of time there, John does, in recording what Jesus taught. He said, "I am the door of the sheepfold. Sheep know my voice and they enter in, but the thief doesn't come through the door." He said, "I'm the door." And when you use this figure, they didn't understand what he's talking about. But he continued. He said, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. They won't listen to the voice of a stranger." Now here's the relationship. You're sheep. Now, when's the last time you thought about yourself as a sheep? Really, seriously. What does sheep imply to you? But he says, "I'm a sheep." Now, the question is, am I a sheep when he speaks? When he speaks, I don't listen to the stranger. But when Jesus speaks, how do I respond? Like a sheep, because I know my master, my shepherd's voice. I know He is there to tend to me, to care for me, to protect me. And so I follow Him because I know He's going to lead me in the right place. To green pastures and still waters. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life." So is your relationship with Jesus the sheep to the shepherd? How closely are you really listening to the voice of the shepherd? Or is it your voice that will define who you are as a Christian? And you'll decide where you're going to go, how you're going to do it. Because after all, that's your right. If that's your attitude toward Jesus, you don't have the relationship you're supposed to have, my friend. That's not the relationship He's going to bless. He's just not going to. His Word says something very different than that. Now, you can fight against it. You can get upset. You can call me evil. You can call the messenger evil. You can reject the Bible. You can say that church is just full of hypocrites. You can just cast away everybody. But the Word of God remains. Jesus is still true. And one day you're going to have to answer to Jesus. What kind of relationship do you have with Him? The shepherd and the sheep? I hope so. That's what we all need to have. We read about a relationship of the bridegroom and the bride, don't we? In Ephesians 5th chapter, in that text, Paul said, "I'm talking about Christ and the church," when he said, "Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, as the church is to Christ in everything." We're to be subject to Christ in everything. Faithful to Him. True to Him. Devoted and united to Him. We're joined to Christ. When you said, "I do," in your marriage, the two become one flesh. You're no longer independent. You're united. When you were baptized into Christ Jesus, what does that verse goes on to say in Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 4 and 5? United with Him in the likeness of His death. Romans 6, 5. United with Him. So is your relationship with Jesus one of the bride to the bridegroom who is faithful and true and devoted? Or kickative and rejecting and unfaithful? What is your relationship to Jesus? We read about a king and citizens in the Bible. In Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, we read about Jesus as king. And about you and me as well. It says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Some of the translations say He made us a kingdom. Of course, we know that Colossians 1:13. We're born into the kingdom of God. Unless we're born again, we cannot see, we cannot enter the kingdom. Well, now we're citizens of the kingdom. That means with the king, we're to give Him our allegiance. So is your relationship with Jesus unfailing allegiance as a king? We don't know much about following a king, do we? We live in a democracy. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a vote. And we think that way about being a Christian. I'm going to cast my vote. I'm going to do it my way. That's not the relationship with Jesus. No. He gave Him to be head over all things of the church, which is His body. So He's the body, and we're members of His body. A member of a body is to be responsive and working in His direction, His guidance. The body is to grow up into one, be united to His service. We were to respond to Him. Is that your relationship? About high priest and the priests that serve in the house of God. He's a high priest over the house of God. We studied that recently. But we, as living stones, have built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. It's acceptable to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, our relationship with Jesus is He's in heaven, made it possible for us to access God Himself. And our life is to be one of sacrifice and service to God, adorned in holiness, to approach Him in humility and service. Is that how we're living with Jesus? What about the Lord and His servants? You see, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then He goes further as talks to servants in the flesh. He said, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Here's your relationship. You are a servant of the Lord Christ. That means submissive service. I submit to Him. Our relationship with Jesus is a servant who says, speak, Lord, who serves at His direction. That's the relationship. Is it ours? Our relationship is Jesus as a teacher, a master, and His students, His disciples. Luke 6:40. Disciple is not greater than the master, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be as his master, as his teacher. The student is not greater than the teacher. Regardless of what some of the teaching models are these days, as if the student kind of decides for himself what to study and how to study and what's important and what's not. When it comes to Jesus, a disciple is not above his teacher. If we're going to be perfectly trained, we're going to be like Him. We're going to have to listen to Him, learn from Him, and live what He teaches. You see, we're to be like Him in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. That's because we learn from Him. Remember when He called us? He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Is that your relationship with Jesus? Are you learning from Jesus? How are you learning from Jesus? Really, in your life, how are you learning from Jesus? How are you doing that? I listened to a little audio last night on Facebook. A little boy from Nebraska called into some radio station and talked about how he had to go and put down a cow. And he loved that cow. The cow broke its back and had to be put down. And then he said, you know, God gave me a message. God told me, you know, I love my son too, and he had to die. So it's all going to be okay. Now, does Jesus teach you that way? Talk to you in the middle of the night somehow or another? No, he doesn't. If you think he does, then respectfully, you've misunderstood. You've accepted a deception. That's not the way Jesus talks to you. That's not the way he teaches you, is talk to you some way in the middle of the night. No, he talks to you in the word that's been revealed. Then give us something additional to this. This is plenty. This will take care of it if we'll listen as learning followers, disciples. What kind of relationship? And by the way, are you listening? That means, are you using the Bible? Are you reading it? Studying it? Looking for applications for yourself? In John 15, the passage that John read for us this morning, Jesus is speaking to the apostles, but there's a principle there. And it's an important one. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you obey what I say." Now, so even in the context of, as we sang, "He's my friend." How is he my friend? Well, according to what Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. And then, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So, friendship has to be defined in God's way, not in man's way, not in the world's way, not in my emotional way, but in God's way, which provides plenty of emotion. But it's God's way, not mine. The world is full of emotional stories that warm the heart and flutter the emotion and give a measure of comfort and peace and joy and feeling, while people are disobeying Jesus, not obeying His commandments, and all the while convinced, "I have a relationship with Jesus. I feel Jesus. You can't convince me otherwise, but I'm disobeying His Word." And that's verifiable. But I got a relationship with Jesus. No, you see the deception, the blindness. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. We want to open our eyes. We want to see clearly. We want to be friends with Jesus by listening and following His Word. Why was Abraham a friend of God? James 2, 23. He was called a friend of God because he lived by faith. And the faith described there was, you see, when works combined with his faith, then faith was made perfect. In other words, when God gave him a commandment, he obeyed God. And he was called the friend of God because he put his faith in Jesus, in God. We've got to put our faith in God by following His Word. We have a relationship as brethren. Christ as a son over the house of God. Hebrews 3 and verse 6 says, "He's not ashamed to call us brethren," Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. "But He is the Son over God's house. We are children of God's family. Members of God's family. And He is the Son over it." So we listen to our Father. We follow our Father. We call upon our Father. We pray to our Father. We have a relationship as brethren in God's house with the Son of God. We share that relationship, you see, because we honor the Father the way the Son honors the Father. And the Son always does those things that are pleasing in His sight, as must we. You see, I cannot have a relationship with Jesus while I'm living in disobedience. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you think you have a relationship with me, and yet are in sin, yet living in sin? Knowing Jesus means that I follow His Word. Let's close with 1 John 2 and 3 beginning. 1 John 2 and verse 3. "By this we know that we know Him." Here it is. "By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And that's the way he walked. He obeyed his Father. John 15:10. That's what we must do. We must obey the Father if we're going to have a relationship with Jesus. It's Christians who have that relation. And we are secure in Christ because of it. Living by faith and doing the Father's will. And that's what He calls you to today if you're lost. Be saved in Christ. Come into Him. Be baptized into Him. Have a relationship of salvation. And then in that relationship, live in a way that brings honor and glory to God. And the security that it gives you, that you have a sure hope of heaven. Won't you come? All together we stand and sing.